seems like Jesus' whole life is one of compassion, concern, care. Say with the widow in today's gospel story, a widow in those days was considered to be the poorest of the poor. Once her spouse died, if she had no one in the family to, or any sons to kind of stand up for her, she had no standing in society, she had no way of making a living, she just was one of the poorest of the poor. So Jesus, recognizing this, knowing the culture of the time, he said that he wanted to do something about it. And being God, he could do something about it, and he did. He raised a young man back to life. You know, and so many times in all of the stories of gospel, Jesus is always about life. It's always something about life. You know, when the crowds were gathered and listening to him preach, he was concerned about their well-being. So he said to his disciples, feed them. Give them something to eat. People would, when he came through an area, the people would come flocking to him with all of the sick. He would recognize sickness as not really, it's really not life-giving. Sicknesses can be very devastating for people. And so it's like he said, I don't want that to happen. I want life. And so he would cure them. And remember how he spent his life. He spent his life teaching people, teaching them that if they followed a code of life, which he was handing on to them, that their lives would be enriched, they would be alive, and after this life, he would have something very special for them for eternity. So it's always about life. He's always looking out for what is for the good of the people. How can I enrich their life? Even his own life. He embraced the death because of us. But then he rose again to claim once again life. You know, and that's what he does for all of us. See, when we think about who we are, you know, our first parents rebelled against God. As a consequence, we all bear some of the results of that. But Jesus, through when he was here on earth, he passed on to us what he considered a tremendous gift. And it was a gift of a promise of life, a new kind of life, a spiritual life, and a life that would not end when our journey here on earth ends, but will go on into eternity. He gave us the sacrament of baptism, by which we became members of his family. He gives us the sacraments. He gives us the reconciliation, sacrament of penance, to help us when we mess up. Because sin is like a death. It's death to our spiritual life. It can do a lot of damage to us if we just don't do anything about it. But Christ said, no. He said, I don't want that. I want you to have life. And so he gave us reconciliation. Let me free you of the death in you so that you can go on and live and enjoy life and bring life to other people. See, as a society, we sometimes look around and we say, we are really a mess. You know, when people feel there's no problem because they get angry, to run somebody off the road, perhaps even kill them, they think that somehow or another that that's normal and that that's all right. That's destructive of society. It's destructive of life. And Jesus says, I give you what you need to transform that society. I give you a way of life that is better than that, where people care, where they look out for each other, where they don't subject other people to unnecessary pain and suffering and even death. So stop and think about all of this, Jesus is always concerned some way about life. How do I make your life richer? How do I make your life more pleasing? How do I make your life more meaningful? How do I make you want to embrace life and love it the way I meant for you to? And so he teaches us, he shows us, he gives us a way of life. And when we take on that baptism, when we receive that sacrament and are welcomed into this family of God, we become like his disciples. And our mission in life is to carry on what he did. The disciples were the first ones to receive it. He said, go into the whole world, proclaim this message to all people. Heal the sick, raise the dead, forgive the sinner, transform the world. He said, I give that all to you to do. So it really is our job. Unfortunately, we don't always see ourselves as being that important in the eyes of God. We kind of see ourselves more as, well, it's like we consider ourselves just one of a vast number that if we're there, it makes a difference, it doesn't make any difference, and if we're not there, it doesn't make any difference, because God will never notice. Well, God notices everything. He notices everything. And so he says to us, think about who you are. I dwell in you. I live in this world today through you, because you are my dwelling place. You are my temple. Each and every one of us who has received that sacrament. So if we are that temple of God, if we are the presence of Christ in this world, then all of this life-giving job becomes ours. And we are supposed to bring that to the people of our age as Jesus brought it to the people of his age. He said, you take the message into all the world. You do that now. You have my presence within you. So we are supposed to be life-giving. Say to a spouse, say someone that we've dedicated our life to. You know, it's so easy in our world today to be sidetracked and to think that each and every one of us is much more important than anybody else. Well, maybe that's not all bad, but at the same time, it's not what Christ taught us. He said, you should be willing to serve all of the rest. That's what I did. So that's supposed to be part of our job. That we are supposed to bring to this world a goodness and a sense of life and a spirit of life. So that if somebody in our family is struggling, we don't ostracize them. We try to lead them, be an example to them, pray for them, to help them find, to rediscover that life that God has given, and we are trying to help nurture. In our society, we complain all the time about how rotten we become as a society, where people don't care about anybody except themselves, where you can find all kinds of garbage and junk on your computers and your cell phones and wherever you want to find it. And it seems like nobody's allowed to say anything because, you know, it's not politically correct. You're not supposed to criticize anybody. You're not supposed to do any of that stuff. But Jesus said, I showed you a better way. If your society is rotten, you have me within you. I'm with you. It is your job to bring life back to that dead society, that society that has lost its moral code. It's your job to do that, because I dwell in you. And we can go on and on with that. But you know, we've got to understand, first of all, how important we are in this whole divine plan. In the kingdom of God, we are essential. Christ has made us that way. He made us, his creatures, essential elements in bringing his kingdom to this world. But until we are willing to look at ourselves and say, that includes me. That includes me. So as Christ gives me life, in so many ways, by his forgiveness, through the Eucharist, through the sacrament of reconciliation, through all of these things that he gives to me, that's what I'm supposed to be bringing to this world. That's how important we are. He gave us that mission. You go into the whole world. But until each and every one of us takes the time to realize he means me. And when I understand that a little better and realize that he personally has selected each one of us, that he wants that relationship with us because he loves us so much. And he said, and all I ask is I want you to have some love for me so that you are willing to continue my mission in this world. But we have to realize that as insignificant as we are, and as insignificant as we think we are in God's eyes, he has made us extremely important. He has made us essential to accomplish his mission in this world. If we want life in our society, if we want life in our world, if we want the world to listen and a real care and genuine concern for all people, as Christ did for the widow in this case, as the prophet did for the widow, but then we need to accept the fact that he has decided to choose me, each and every one of us. And when we personally come to a realization of that, then we will probably live our Christian lives just a little bit differently.